You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, my friends, for those of you who don't know, I grew up in Malaysia, and my immediate family, my mum and dad, and my siblings live in Malaysia and Singapore. Now, if we've planned it right, a photo of them should come up on the screen. Now, I love my family. They're top quality. I have an older brother and a younger sister. And you might find this a bit hard to believe, guys, but I was actually a bit of a troublemaker growing up. Probably the biggest troublemaker within my family. They might beg to differ, but I actually got their permission to talk about them today. I was like, are you happy for me to talk about you guys? And they've given me the okay, so we're all good. The reason I was the biggest troublemaker, because I often had a bit of conflict with my little sister. We're quite different, our personalities, so we used to clash a little bit, we used to argue, we used to fight over things like most siblings do, I suppose, but I thought we did it more than most siblings. This was mainly because, like I said, we were quite different in our personalities, and we shared a room, and I was always like, why can't you be more like me? Why can't you be more tidy? Why can't you put your stuff away? Stop touching my things! All the things that siblings fight about, especially when you share a room. And she used to be like, oh, why do you have to drape your hands and legs all over me when we're sleeping? Because we also had a double bed that we shared. So we had a lot of conflict, disagreements, arguments, fights. Now, the good news is, I love her to bits. We've reconciled all our issues. And I think she's great because I can celebrate that God has made a difference to me. The reason why she can't be like me is because God created her to be like her. So we're really close now, and I think she's awesome. But the interesting thing is my older brother, he sometimes had to be the peacemaker. Anyone else is the sibling like that who had to, you know, break up the fights or settle the disagreements? Anyone else was that in their family? Or maybe you were a bit like me, you were the troublemaker, and another sibling had to break up the fights between you. But my poor brother, he was the peacemaker. The Bible speaks of peacemaking on multiple occasions. In Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In James chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, it says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. In verse 18, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. We see in Ephesians 4:2-3, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. Looking through these verses, we see that peacemaking, along with its attributes like being patient, making allowance for faults and being gentle, are important for us as Christians. So what actually is peacemaking? What is it to be a peacemaker? It's often used as a military term, and it's the process of bringing about peace through mediation, negotiation, or other forms of settlement that work towards ending disputes, resolving issues, and reconciling adversaries. Why is peacemaking important, though? My friends, there is great fruit for us from being bound together in peace. What we read before in James 3, verse 18, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. In the ERV, it says, people who work for peace in a peaceful way get the blessings that come from right living. The message says you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God. What an amazing promise for us as we live in peace. In Ephesians 4:15-16, it says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, his church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes us fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What an incredible picture of us as the church. You know, our statement this year is that we want to grow and grow. And like the scripture says, we grow to be more like Jesus. But we also grow together, being healthy and full of love, as it says in Ephesians 16. And that's what we want to do. We want to grow and go. But let's be honest for a moment. Though our intention is to always live in peace, though we would like to live in peace at all times, it'd be fair to say that at times we have conflict. we clash. The definition of conflict is prolonged struggle, clash, sharp disagreement, opposition, or argument. The reality is that our differences and our natural tendencies, our differences in personalities, like my sister and I, you know, I was the tidy one, she was the not so tidy one, our family of origin, trauma we may have experienced growing up, circumstances we've had to deal with, situations we have been through, can influence how we handle situations. Sometimes this can lead to misunderstanding, hurt, offense, and broken relationships. We see this stated really well in Proverbs 18, verse 19. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. There's some strong words, my friends, that the impact of arguments, the impact of disagreements can be so great that if we don't work through them healthily, they can break relationships. But it's not all bad news, guys. There is good news that this is not where we have to stay. This is not where we have to end up. We can grow in working through conflict. This year, like I said, we've decided to grow and go. So how do we grow in working through conflict? I truly believe that peacemaking is part of the antidote to conflict. So as followers of Jesus, how do we grow in being peacemakers in the midst of conflict? Let's take a look at the story of Joseph. Pastor Rachel delivered a mighty word a couple of weeks ago from the story of Joseph about God's supernatural favor. And I believe there is so much we can learn from Joseph's journey, from Joseph's story. The story of Joseph spans Genesis 37 to 50. So that's like 14 chapters. So don't worry, we won't read all 14. But if you have your Bibles or phones ready, you can sort of look through the different scriptures as we go through. I'll summarize his story, though. Joseph is Jacob's youngest son at the time. He has dreams from God of ruling over his family, and he shares these dreams with his brothers. Now, as a result, his brothers dislike him quite greatly, as you might if you have a boasting sibling, and they plot to kill him. They end up selling him into slavery, and he gets taken by merchants to Egypt. Joseph winds up working for an Egyptian Potiphar. He's wrongfully accused and put into prison. Throughout these seasons in the valley, Joseph experiences God's supernatural favor, as Pastor Rachel spoke about. But eventually, breakthrough happens, my friends. God enables Joseph to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt. Joseph is released from prison, and he actually becomes the governor of Egypt, second in charge, just only under Pharaoh. And he oversees the storage of grain in preparation for a time of famine. Hosea 2:15 says that God makes the valley of Achor, which means trouble, a door of hope. Throughout Joseph's season in the valley, God kept showing up and kept opening the door of hope to him. See, in Genesis 42, we read of how his brothers now, in this time of famine, come to Egypt to get grain because there's no food where they are. Joseph recognizes them as his brothers, but they don't recognize him because he's changed from what they remember. You know, let's think of Joseph for a moment. He is now face to face with the people who are responsible for all the hardship he's been through. Being sold into slavery, being in prison for all those years, he's come face to face with them now. What will be going through his mind, I wonder? I wonder what would go through my mind if I met people who had done that to me. How would he respond? Let's look at Genesis 42, verse 7 and verse 9. Joseph recognized his brothers instantly, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where are you from?" he demanded. In verse 9, and he remembered the dreams he'd had about them many years ago before. He said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see how vulnerable our land has become." We see here, it's interesting to see Joseph's response. He speaks harshly to them. He accuses them of being spies. If you look further down in that chapter, he actually puts them in prison for 3 days. In verses 21 to 23, Joseph actually overhears his brothers sharing about how their consciences were touched because of what they had done to him. That they had hurt him, that they had sold him to slavery, and this is what was happening to them because of that. And when he hears that, he weeps in response. We hear later on how he weeps again when they talk about their brother. And how he responds to them is very interesting. We see that Joseph has a series of responses and reactions in this moment of confrontation with his family. But how does this relate to you and I today? What does it mean for you and I? See, in growing and being peacemakers, we need to recognize our own response to conflict, recognize our own response to confrontation. In Ken Sande's book, The Peacemaker, he compares our response to conflict to that of the fight or flight response that we have when our bodies are threatened. So you might have learned this in science, you know, when we are confronted with danger or a threat, our sympathetic nervous system kicks in and our immediate reaction is want to fight. So, you know, you see someone in the dark alley, you want to fight them, or flight, you want to run away from them. Similarly, when we face conflict, we can have that same natural tendency to go into fight or flight. Fight where we attack the other person, where we gossip about them, where we put them down, where we confront them in an unhealthy way. Or we can go into a flight mode where we avoid the confrontation. We leave the relationship, we leave the church, we leave any sort of involvement with that person because we are hurt. We deny there's an issue, we pretend that nothing's happened. Or sometimes we just become resigned to the fact and go, you know what, this is just my lot in life. This is what always happens to me. I just have to accept that this is my deal. See, all these can be learned behaviors that we encounter. They can be anchored to things in our past, trauma, family of origin, culture. But it's not all doom and gloom, my friends. There is good news. The good news is that we can grow in overcoming this. We don't have to stay in this fight and flight response. See, Ephesians chapter 4, 23 verse 24 says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. My friends, we've heard about it all this morning. Because of the price that Jesus paid, because of the mighty Jesus we serve, you and I are new creations in Christ, that we can put on our new nature, that we can allow Holy Spirit to renew our thoughts and attitudes each and every day, that we can go on this journey of changing our responses from fight and flight to a healthy position with conflict. We are new creations in Christ, my friend, and we can celebrate that. When we are faced with conflict, we can take a moment to pause, to reflect on the emotions we're experiencing and perhaps the reasons for them. This is called self-awareness, where we're conscious of our experiences, our feelings, our responses, and we can actually go to seek to understand what might result in these responses. Why do I respond the way I do? Why do I react the way I do? See, for me personally, my natural tendency, I have to admit, is flight. Like, any opportunity to avoid conflict, I will take. Like, any opportunity to avoid confrontation, I will take. When faced with conflicts, I literally, like, 180, turn around, avoid if possible. Part of this was influenced by the culture I grew up in. In Malaysia, we don't often talk a lot about conflict or confront conflict. Instead, the more common thing you do is suppress it, not say anything, keep it quiet. Or the other thing you do is you go and tell, you know, all your mates about it and say, do you know what Pastor Lee did to me? You know? And tell them all about it, about how hurt and offended you are. So my natural tendency is to fly away from any sort of confrontation. Neither of these responses is healthy. I've had to learn, though, in renewing my own thoughts and attitude, allowing Holy Spirit to renew my thoughts and attitude around conflict, having healthy conversations around conflict and offences, walking towards those healthy conversations and working towards reconciliation. And I have to admit, this is not always easy. It is challenging for me at times. Even this week, there was a situation with someone at work that I actually had to go and say something to them, and literally this is me, whoever's on the camera. Sorry, I'm going to move a little bit. So they were sort of sitting there, I'm here, and I'm going to walk over to them to have the conversation. I'm walking over to them, and they look up at me, and I'm like, Anyone ever done that? You know, you're like, okay, I've got to like get myself ready for this. And a second time, and they smile. And I was like, Holy Spirit, help me to renew my thoughts and attitudes. I'm preaching about it this week. Like, I better be able to deal with conflict in a healthy way. And the third time, I walked over, and I just started the conversation, and you know, we were able to work through it. It wasn't a very big conflict, but it was just something that needed to be said so we could work through it together. So the reality is, it's not always easy, but it's a choice. We can make that choice to maybe divert once or twice, but eventually face the conflict healthily. So my question is, how do you respond to conflict? What may have influenced your response to conflict? Are you a fight kind of person? Are you a flight kind of person? What may have influenced how you respond? Can I encourage you, my friends, that if you do have a tendency to go into one of those fight or flight modes, let's go on the journey together with God of working towards a healthier response to conflict. we can ask Holy Spirit to teach us how to respond when it's conflict. He's the best teacher and guide. In John 14:26, it says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." What a wonderful teacher we've gotten, Holy Spirit. So firstly, in growing and being peacemakers, we recognize our response to conflict. Secondly, we acknowledge the conflict. In Genesis 45, we see that Joseph finally reveals himself to his brother after more than 20 years. In chapter 45, verses 3 to 4, "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt." After many, many years of broken relationship, Joseph has the opportunity to speak out about the conflict looming over their family. The fact of the matter is that Joseph's brother had actually done the wrong thing by him. Joseph acknowledges that. See, a part of peacemaking is acknowledging the conflict to the other person or persons. So what does this mean for you and I today? Sometimes the conflict we face, sometimes the situations we face are no fault of our own. Other persons or other people have done wrong by us. At other times, though, we may be responsible or partially responsible for the conflict and have had a part to play towards it. Our words, actions, and behaviors have contributed towards it. Regardless of fault, though, it is important to acknowledge and work through conflict when it arises. See, this is true peacemaking. You'll notice that I've used the word peacemaking, not peacekeeping, because there's a difference between the two. Peacemaking walks towards forgiveness and reconciliation. There's a difference with peacekeeping. A peacekeeping attitude may know there is hurt or conflict there, but would rather suppress it rather than work through it. So, you know, I'm just gonna let it sit because I just want to keep the peace. I don't want to cause any drama, any conflict, or any issues. See, this is how I tend to operate in the natural. This is my natural tendency again. I was a peacekeeper for a very long time. The analogy I would use to describe myself is like a bit of a stick of dynamite with the long fuse. So, you know, it's like you confront an issue, you confront some conflict, some hurt, and you're like, that's all right. You know, it just burns a little bit on that like little fuse and it moves along. But suppress it, forget about it, you know, move on so that the peace was maintained, so that there was no conflict again, you know, avoiding conflict, right? However, the trouble with that is the fuse slowly keeps on burning. You know, it keeps chipping away towards that stick of dynamite till eventually there was an explosion. Bam! Now, that often presented as me being angry, being frustrated, and responding or reacting in an angry way. And the unfortunate thing is that people get hurt when you do that. You know, that I would hurt like people I love by responding in that way that allowed the dynamite to explode. You know, God revealed this to me and it really challenged me on how I was responding to people, that actually my peacekeeping was not helpful because it allowed things to build and build and build until it became so big that I couldn't hold it together. So I've had to learn to deal with conflict early and well. Do you find yourself a bit like me maybe, tending towards peacekeeping? Maybe we suppress these things, hurts that run deep, hurts that you've held on to for a long time. You know, I don't want to rush past this, that we take a moment to allow Holy Spirit to speak to us in this moment, that perhaps there are hurts in our life. There are conflicts in our life that may be a little bit too painful to deal with. But can I encourage you? We serve a good God. We serve a faithful God. He's so committed to you and I. He's so committed to seeing us become more and more like Him. And so can I encourage you this morning? Would you take a step towards Him? Would you take a step towards that reconciliation, working through those suppressed conflicts? Because there's great freedom that comes from doing it. There's great joy that comes from doing it. And I'll be honest, I'm still on the journey of growing in this. I've continued to remind myself about scriptures about peacemaking. I have to be deliberate in being a peacemaker. It's a journey we're all on. See, keeping the peace can be passive. You can avoid it. You can just sort of keep it there. But peacemaking has to be active. It requires action. It's a choice. It's a bold choice. It's not always an easy choice, But the wonderful news is that we can declare God's boldness and we can ask Holy Spirit for wisdom as we walk into conversations, as we walk into situations where peacemaking is required. We see in 2 Timothy 1:7, Timothy, that's you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline, that we can walk in his boldness. In James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. If you need wisdom, ask, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What a good God we serve, hey? So in growing and going as being peacemakers, we can recognize how we respond to conflict. Firstly, we acknowledge the conflict. Thirdly, this is the great news that we can walk towards forgiveness and reconciliation. We see the mercy, grace, and forgiveness that Joseph extends to his brothers in Genesis 45, verse 5, and again in verse 15. Joseph says here, but don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. In Genesis 45:15, then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them. And after that, they began talking freely with him. Joseph then goes to arrange to move his entire family to Egypt and cares for them throughout the time of famine. We read all about this in Genesis 45-47. We see here that just as God made Joseph's valley of trouble into a door of hope, God is now able to use Joseph to become the door of hope to his family. And what an amazing story of reconciliation we see in these later chapters of Genesis 46-50, where there was broken relationships, Joseph's forgiveness, Joseph's kindness brings about restoration. So what does this mean for you and I today, my friends? We too can walk towards forgiveness and reconciliation. Notice I say walk towards. I didn't say jump into or straight away get into forgiveness and reconciliation, because it is a journey. We don't necessarily wake up one day and be like, yes, all the conflict in my life is resolved. I will never deal with conflict again. But we can choose to forgive as we have been forgiven. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Again, easier said than done sometimes, but the amazing thing is we don't have to do this in our own strength. God gives us the grace to do this. We can ask Holy Spirit to help us forgive and walk in restoration and freedom. He is the power of God in us, my friends. Romans 8:26 speaks of how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. See, my friends, forgiveness is not some super spiritual amnesia where we like forget everything that has ever happened to us. Instead, it's a journey where we see that sting of hurt, of conflict, slowly diminish till eventually dissipates because we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. My friends, we can work through conflict in a healthy way and walk towards reconciliation. But what does this practically look like? How do we do it practically? Firstly, in working through conflict, we can choose to overlook the offense. Hear my heart here, guys. Overlooking the offense is not the same as suppressing it or, you know, trying to keep the peace. However, there are times we can choose to not to be upset or offended and seek to understand what might have been the other person's intention, what might have been the other person's heart in saying what they did or doing what they do. This is reflected in what we read in Ephesians 4:2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. That we can make allowance, we can forbear with one another because we love one another and we understand each other well. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, good sense makes a man restrain his anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. So firstly, we can learn to overlook an offense. Secondly, there are times we need to speak to the person involved. Matthew 18:15 says, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. The manner in which we speak to the person is also important. Ephesians 4:15 speaks about we will speak the truth in love. Emphasis on the word speaking the truth in love. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. And we can be people who approach one another in love, working through conflict healthily. Finally, you can also seek support to mediate the conflict together. Sometimes this is the step that's required. This may require consultation with the pastor, like Pastor Lee spoke about before, a pastoral care appointment, a counselor or other professional. If that's what's needed to happen, then take the step, because on the other side is great freedom, restoration, and breakthrough. So, as we work towards being peacemakers, we recognize how we respond to conflict, we acknowledge the conflict, we walk towards reconciliation and forgiveness, and finally, we can declare that God works things all out for our good. We see Joseph repeatedly declares God's sovereignty and goodness throughout his circumstance. In Genesis 45, verses 7 to 8, he says, God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he's the one who had made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and the governor of all Egypt. In Genesis 50, verses 20 to 21, Joseph says to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. So don't be afraid. I will continue to care for you and your children. So Joseph reassured them by speaking kindly to them. See, despite the challenges he went through, Joseph declares God's goodness. My friends, you and I can do the same. As we grow in peacemaking and working through conflict, we can declare God's goodness in the midst of our situation. Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good. He is a safe place to go to in times of trouble. He takes care of those who trust in Him. My friends, whatever situation, whatever conflict you might find yourself in, we can declare His goodness. He is our safe place. You and I can trust in Him. What a good God we serve. So as I wrap up this morning, what is God saying to you today? You know, Pastor Naomi's message a few weeks ago spoke about Joseph's father, Jacob, and how he had to confront his brother Esau. And something that she said in that message has really stuck with me, that geographically, Jacob didn't have to go anywhere near Esau in order to get to the next place he needed to be geographically. But spiritually, there was no other way to get where he needed to grow and where he needed to be other than meet with Esau. You know, this has really stuck in my spirit, that I've been saying to Holy Spirit, are there areas in my life that I might be spiritually stuck, where I need to make peace with an Esau in my life, whether that's a literal Esau person or a situation or something in my spirit, where I need to make that peace in order to be able to move forward. And if there are, then Holy Spirit, help me work through that Esau. Help me confront that Esau so that I can grow. And perhaps it's the same for you this morning. Perhaps there are areas in your life where there's an area of conflict, where there's a wrestle that you need to pursue peacemaking like both Jacob and Joseph did. Perhaps peacemaking and reconciliation is something you need to pursue in order to grow and go in this next season. My friends, let's make a commitment together to grow in being peacemakers, working through conflict, and seeing the blessing that comes from being peacemakers. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are our guide and our counselor. And as we take this moment to worship, Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd speak to each and every one of our hearts as only you can. That if there are deep hurts, if there are areas of conflict that we need to walk through so we can grow, so we can grow in becoming more like you and go out to be who you've called us to be. Holy Spirit, that you would bring that revelation this moment and that we would walk towards forgiveness, reconciliation, so we can walk in greater freedom. We honor you and thank you that you are so committed to refining us and making us more like you. So I say, Holy Spirit, have your way. and speak to each heart as only you can. We worship you.